From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on this day in Maine, Thursday, June 1st, 2017. And on this day, ranked choice voting supporters resist the efforts in the legislature to repeal it. And we'll hear reactions from Maine to President Trump's announcement on the Paris Climate Accord. That's all ahead in just a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by USM's Muskie School of Public Service Master of Public Health Program, preparing students for today's complex population health and health services needs.
First tonight, members of Maine's congressional delegation were nearly unanimous in their reaction to President Trump's announcement that the U.S. will withdraw from the Paris Climate Accord. As Susan Sharon reports, most think the decision, while anticipated, is a mistake.
In a written statement, independent Senator Angus King, a member of the Senate Climate Action Task Force, called it a mistake of historic proportions. He called climate change the most serious and pressing global challenge of our time. This is a short-sighted and irresponsible decision which future generations will neither forgive nor forget, King said. Democratic Congresswoman Shelley Pingree released a statement Wednesday warning that walking away from the deal would be, quote, perilous for America, Maine, and our future. Republican Senator Susan Collins didn't go quite so far, but in a tweet Thursday afternoon, she said she was also disappointed in the president's decision to withdraw from the Paris Climate Agreement. And Republican Congressman Bruce Poliquin echoed Trump's language when he said he would urge the White House to continue engaging in world talks with an eye toward sensible environmental policies that do not limit the nation's competitiveness. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Susan Sharon.
Maine's first-in-the-nation ranked choice voting law is under threat, and advocates of the election reform law know it. Around 50 of them gathered at the State House today to rally against a repeal effort in the legislature that has a good chance of succeeding. Steve Missler has our story.
Kyle Bailey helped lead the campaign to install ranked choice voting in Maine. The effort was backed by $2.8 million in campaign contributions, and ultimately, the desire of close to 400,000 Mainers who voted to dramatically overhaul the state's election system. But that election reform effort now appears doomed.
The effort to repeal ranked choice voting is a slap in your face from politicians who think they know better than you. It's time to tell the politicians in Augusta that we're mad as hell and we're not going to take it anymore.
Bailey tried to convey urgency for ranked choice supporters and to promise electoral consequences for lawmakers who could soon vote to scuttle the law.
But politicians in Augusta aren't going to do this unless we knock some sense into them.
But the politicians in Augusta don't seem all that concerned. That's especially true of Republican Governor Paul LePage.
So what's the next step for the state here? I mean,
It's over. That's a dead duck.
LePage was asked by Portland radio station WGAN Thursday what the legislature should do with ranked choice voting. As usual, the governor didn't mince words.
They do have the authority to say, we repeal this law. That's all they have to do right now. Say, we repeal this law and we're going to go to the Constitution, which is the right thing for them to do. It is the appropriate thing to do.
Prior to last year's ballot initiative, lawmakers' response to ranked choice voting legislation has been dominated by apathy or outright hostility. Now they have political and legal cover, a 51-page Maine Supreme Court opinion that says a key part of the ranked choice voting law conflicts with a provision of the state constitution. Ranked choice supporters say they want the law to be preserved while lawmakers work on a constitutional amendment. But a constitutional amendment needs two-thirds support from the House and Senate, a high hurdle. And during the rally on Thursday, ranked choice voting supporters seemed to recognize that the threat of repeal is greater than the chances of passing the constitutional amendment. Former Democratic legislator Diane Russell was among those who spoke.
If politicians want to step in the way of the Maine people, there is another ballot box that they will be answering to.
For decades, Maine candidates for state and federal offices have won by obtaining the most votes, also known as a plurality. The election system has come under fire in recent years because, in governor's races in particular, the campaigns have been divisive and the winners haven't won with a majority. Ranked choice voting supporters say the new system will ensure a majority winner. And because voters rank candidates in order of preference, candidates won't be able to simply appeal to their base constituencies.
We want to have a conversation about who should win the election, not just about who can win the election.
Former Democratic legislator Diane Russell said recent elections have been influenced by concerns about spoiler candidates. Instead of picking their favorite, she says voters have been forced to choose the one they think can win. And that, Russell says, has crowded out real debates about policy.
We don't talk about the ideas of this state. We don't talk about the ideas of the candidates.
Whether ranked choice voting would fix Maine elections and temper its divisive politics is up for debate. But that experiment may be over before it begins. The legislature's Veterans and Legal Affairs Committee will hold a public hearing Friday on a bill to amend the Constitution so that ranked choice voting can be implemented. And that hearing will be followed by another bill that repeals the law. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
For those of you who've been following this, the Federal Education Department has awarded more than $2 million in Upward Bound grants to several Maine colleges. But Maine senators say the department is still reviewing a similar application from the University of Maine at Presque Isle. It was initially rejected because of a line spacing error on two pages of the 65-page application. The Maine congressional delegation called that an absurd bureaucratic decision. Congress later agreed to allocate an additional $50 million to the program, and the Education Department agreed to ignore the line spacing error and judge the Presque Isle application on its merits. Upward Bound grants are meant to help lower-income students pay college costs. The University of Maine at Presque Isle has received the funding in the past. Under President Trump, officials with U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, are casting a broader net when it comes to who they're prioritizing for arrest. According to ICE data, the focus in New England appears to be on immigrants with no criminal record. ICE arrests of non-criminal immigrants living in New England without authorization have more than tripled so far this year. Reporter Shannon Dooling has our story.
Even before President Trump took office, his message on immigration was clear. He planned to deport millions of immigrants living in the country without documentation. And in an interview with 60 Minutes, Trump said he'd first focus on criminals.
What we are going to do is get the people that are criminal and have criminal records, gang members, drug dealers. We have a lot of these people, probably 2 million. It could even be 3 million. We're getting them out of our country.
But looking at a breakdown of the arrests made by ICE since January, it's clear that non-criminals are being arrested at a higher clip. Nationwide, the number has more than doubled compared to the same time last year. In New England, ICE has arrested more than three times as many non-criminals, 335, up from 104 this time last year.
This administration is carrying out the mass deportation agenda that it promised on the campaign trail.
Sarah Sherman Stokes is a clinical instructor at Boston University's Immigrants' Rights and Human Trafficking Program. She says an increase in ICE arrests this year is unsurprising given Trump's executive orders. The actions broadened enforcement priorities for ICE to include not only serious criminals, but also those whose only offense is entering the country without authorization. In 2014, then-President Obama sought to narrow enforcement priorities by focusing on, quote, deporting felons, not families. While deportations did rise to historic levels under Obama, numbers decreased toward the end of his second term. Still, Sherman Stokes says some of the enforcement patterns we're seeing now began well before Trump's executive orders.
You know, I'm surprised that the numbers have gone up so dramatically, although they're not surprising insofar as they're a continuation of the trajectory that we were already on under the Obama administration.
Of particular concern now, she says, is the spike in arrests of non-criminals.
When the system of priorities collapses on itself, as it has done under this administration, how does law enforcement focus on serious threats if they're focusing on everyone? It's impossible.
The Trump administration has said it hopes to beef up the number of ICE agents in an effort to support the new enforcement priorities. For the New England News Collaborative, I'm Shannon Dooling.
Finally today, almost $1.8 million federal dollars are coming to Maine to help seven municipalities and groups across the state get properties that may have been contaminated by past uses ready for redevelopment. David Wright is with the Maine Department of Environmental Protection. He says typically brownfields are former industrial or commercial sites that have been unattractive to developers. The two cleanup grants will be used in Berwick at the former Prime Tanning Company and in Millinocket at the former Miller's Department Store. Wright says brownfield money focuses on facilities in the centers of cities and towns.
And that's important because we can then maximize efficient use of local infrastructure like sewer systems, water systems, three-phase power, and that sort of thing, and prevent redevelopment of green spaces outside of town.
Among the grants announced today is $300,000 awarded to Maine DEP, which Wright says will allow the agency to quickly assess sites. For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine for Thursday, June 1st, 2017. Thanks to Ed Morin and our digital team. I'm Nora Flaherty.